the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and it's close enough for horseshoes to call at the top of the hour, about 8-9 minutes to the top, and absolutely delighted to get a chance to look at the last, since the Indiana Derby and Oaks. We alternate every week between Indiana and Canterbury, and Indiana's got quarter horses in the spotlight the next 4 days. Each afternoon, there's a $100,000 or more stake and a chance to get our first visit of the season with Indiana Grands. Nancy Uri-Holtis, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure. And I, you know, typically I wait a little bit longer, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, to do our conversations. But when I saw this sequence of these high level futurities, 130,000, 150,000, and then, you know, the next 2 days after that, too, Wednesday, Thursday, I thought, let's get an Indiana visit in, because these are obviously, you know, it's a big sequence of stakes.
Yeah, really impressive. Two-year-olds are highlighted in the Jaguar Rocket Futurity Final. $138,000 purse today, and this is for Indiana registered two-year-olds, and a really good field set to go to the post. And it's interesting that, you know, Randy Smith has four in there, and I was kind of going through the field, but he doesn't have the favorite. So it's kind of interesting that he does not send out the post or the morning line favorite. That goes to the number four. He's a fast kisser coming from the barn of Claudio Barraza. And that horse coming off a really nice third as the beaten favorite against two who obviously return in this particular field. So it's going to be a really good race, and it is the ninth and final on today's program.
Nancy, for you, I've been asking this, I've had this conversation a couple of times, for thoroughbred betters, and obviously the nightcap, for instance, today, not part of the multi-race, the big multi-race sequences, the 11.9% pick five starts race four, ends in race eight. Getting thoroughbred players to understand an approach that works for the quarter horses, what do you tell them when they ask?
Well, you know, it's interesting in regards to the quarter horses. To me, consistency is key. I'm a big jockey trainer angle person when it does come to the quarter horses, and definitely look for those clean trips. The outside, I think, has been interesting, the way it's been playing this meet, and kind of seems like the middle of the starting gate has kind of been produced a few better winners thus far at the meeting as well. So I think the four is really going to benefit from that post position, and just works out. He happens to be the morning line favorite.
The Jaguar Rocket Futurity today, which goes at 6:04, and then tomorrow the Gordon Mobley Futurity, $186,000, and these are both, you know, all Indiana bred 2 year old quarter horses. And to me, you know, it's amazing. We don't have as many futurity concepts in thoroughbreds, obviously, as they do when it comes to the quarter horses, and the pools, the money, the, you know, the purse money that gets amassed, Nancy, it's amazing. And of course, you know, when it comes to the All-American Futurity, you know, that's the granddaddy of them all. But you look at these kinds of numbers, 138,000 and 186,000, and the breeders, they fund into this at various stages, and that's how these big pools, these big pots get amassed.
Yeah, this is a big deal for the quarter horse industry here in Indiana, and they're heavily supported. you know, our next all quarter horse day is Saturday, August 8th, and we just got approved for another early post of 10 a.m., and that's for the trials of the Bob Woodard Memorial Classic, along with the trials of the QHRAI Stallion Service Auction, Futurity, and Derby. So, you know, a huge quarter horse industry here in Indiana, and they're supported by races like today and tomorrow. So a big, big support from the Hoosier State.
You know, you mentioned that morning. We talked to Eric a couple of weeks ago after the very clever employment of, you know, the early post and the all quarter horse card, which ended up producing 800,000 in handle. And when you say August 8th, that's Travers Day. And so you'll get, you know, a similar, not identical to what was going on, you know, with Ascot, but it you know, kind of plugs into that same big Saturday mentality, and, you know, getting the focus of people that essentially are waking up and they're looking forward to a day of racing, and you're going to have eyes when, you know, there's little else for, you know, for North American fans to be focused on and on that particular morning.
Yeah, it's a really good way to, yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head, Steve, that, you know, people wake up, want, you know, some racing or some type of sporting to turn their eyes on the weekend. And a lot of people aren't as familiar with the quarter horse world of racing. So why not give it to them bright and early on a Saturday morning? So it not only brings them to the world of quarter horse racing, but also introduces them to the product that we have to offer at Indiana Grand. So if we give it to them bright and early on a Saturday morning, maybe they'll join us maybe Monday through Thursday on an afternoon.
Well, each of these ninth races today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday at Indiana, and we mentioned and looked at the Jaguar Rocket. Tomorrow, that Gordon Mobley, any thoughts yet on this group?
Well, you meaning today?
No, the Mobley is, no, the we talked
well,
about
yeah,
the Jaguar.
Yeah, the Mobley is tomorrow. It's
right.
The 11th running. The early morning line favorite is Stone Lake. He was the fastest qualifier of 15.622. Tony Cunningham, he does break from that post 10, so he is on that outside. It's interesting as the second choice is also from the barn of Tony Cunningham. Mm. So I think it'd be interesting if the Cunningham barn is able to get the exacta done. So I think I'm going to be safe and say I like Tony Cunningham and the Gordon Mobley.
Well, and Martinez sides with Stone Lake with the 9-5 favorite, and Vasquez Gomez ends up on Beach Diva, but he rides occasionally for Cunningham. But yeah, Cunningham with the Beach Diva 3-1, Stone Lake 9-5 on Wednesday. You've got $108,000 Heartland Futurity, and then on Thursday, no line yet on the Thursday card, but the Blue River Derby. They're going to go 400 yards. These, of course, are the three-year-olds. Really fun, and I saw today, when I looked at today's card, I was just more or less looking at the pick five, Nancy, and I saw there was the stake, and I saw that it was a Futurity, so I said, let me look at Tuesday. Sure enough, I thought, okay. And I kept looking as the week went on. I said, all right, there, it's obviously a feature week with some high level over $500,000 in quarter horse stakes and all Indiana bred action. Although the Heartland is open company, right? Yeah, open company on Wednesday.
Yeah, and also very excited. I got to get in a plug here for a very new wager that starts today. It's the Straight Fire Six, which is the kind of like the jackpot pick six, starts today, and it's always races 2 through 7. It's only a 20-cent minimum wager. So the rules are very easy. One unique ticket can take the jackpot. Multiple tickets will split 50% of the pool. The other 50 goes to the carryover. There's no consolation ever. And just to kind of have some fun with it, we're doing a record low minimum pool of $100. So trying to keep it light, you know, in this crazy world we're living in right now. So the Straight Fire Pick Six starts today. So we're kicking it off with a $100 minimum pool.
Well, and Nancy, the with, you know, as a 20-cent jackpot concept, what are the provisions in terms of what gets broken out and carried to the next day?
Well, the carryover will be, you know, if there are multiple tickets, those tickets will split 50% of the pool.
50,
the other 50% goes to the carryover.
Okay.
So I believe it's 11.99% takeout. So, you know, we're keeping with the low takeouts here in Indiana, which is a good thing. Same takeout with the Pick Five.
Okay. All right. Well, we understand. I mean, the jackpot concept to me is not my favorite thing, as I've said many times. So I don't have to stress it here. However, the 11.995 Pick Five has been a complete home run, and each day after, we've taken time and looked at the payoffs, which have been, you know, exponential. I mean, virtually every card, unless it completely chalks out, has paid over parlay. So on a daily basis, Monday through Thursday, worth looking at the Pick Five. Some thoughts, Nancy? I haven't talked 2 weeks about since the Derby Oaks Day. Some thoughts about what's gone on here the last 2 weeks.
You know, it's been a really good meet here at Indiana Grand. You know, we've had some warm days, but for the most part, the track has played fair. We haven't had any torrential downpours like we normally have had to suffer through. It's just been some really, really good racing. We've had some amazing barns ship in. Purses are great. And just always every day look forward to a really good racing product. And management has just been phenomenal here this meet. Eric has done a great job. He's proven to be a really good leader. And just every day, just looking forward to everybody staying healthy.
Well, certainly Indiana Grand's been rewarded with tremendous handle numbers. I mean, they're doing between $2 and $3 million every card, and they've been engaging. Any trends that have anything, you know, kind of change or bubble to the surface the last couple of weeks? Anybody starting to fire on all cylinders?
Well, you know, obviously you can see the Gennaro Garcia barn doing really, really well. Deshaun Parker, there are leaders in their respective categories. I do think it's going to be a really tight race for jockey this year between Deshaun Parker and Rodney Prescott. Always tough in the trainer category, and our races are always really tough because you do have those Kentucky invaders that come in, especially on the turf. Some really, really talented horses come in to compete, regardless of whether Kentucky tracks are racing or not. Really, really fantastic product. But overall, it's just been a wonderful meet, and happy to say that, again, I can't express enough how great a job that management has done to keep everybody protected, everybody safe, and we are, meaning the horsemen, the employees, are doing everything on their own to stay healthy and stay protected as well. Because we all know during this time, it's extremely important and it's critical that we can keep doing so to keep our product going.
Well, and speaking of which, in addition to the quarters, give us a couple of opinions about the regular card today.
Well, you know, there's some really good races today. In the second, there's a 3 and up allowance sprinting non-2. Phil Sims sends in 1-4 owners Fortune Racing and Malcolm Franklin in the irons. Malcolm has had kind of a tough meet. He's only got one winner out of 58 starts, so he's batting 2%. But definitely does not take away the amount of talent that this kid has. this filly ran second last out when she did take on three-year-olds. She is going to take on older today. Definitely see her getting a piece of a change. But a really nice starter from the barn of Michelle Lovell. That spitefulness, Alex Achard in the irons, comes out of a nice, very tough starter 50 at Churchill last time. Wouldn't be surprised to see her set the pace today. And not sure if she's the morning line favorite at 2-1, but, you know, some really nice horses coming in. The one from Rudy Brissett, who ran a disappointing seventh last time, when going around a ground, does shorten up and is in the money both starts prior here at Indiana Grand. Rudy Brissett is lighting up the board. 56% wins here at Indiana Grand. He's 5 of 9. Wouldn't be surprised if that horse actually goes off as the favorite. He brings in the number 2, Rhea Monk, with Robbie Alvarado, who has moved his tack here, which was very smart, given all of the things kind of going on in Kentucky. So a very interesting race in number 2. Also, you have a very interesting fourth race, as that is second level allowance, optional 40 for fillies and mares, also sprinting 6 furlongs, have a scratch of the 7, My Good Girl. But really interesting, as you have Brett Calhoun, who sends in the number 6, More, with Deshaun Parker. They're 22% together. She just ran a really good fifth, beaten just over 4 lengths after coming from the back of the pack when sprinting over the Churchill turf. Definitely see her as the class and the one to beat. But just to her inside, Sippy Contreras sends out the number 5 in the midst of Biz, who just comes off a very solid effort over the local turf at today's level, and was beaten by winner Sterling Mist, who does return. So the fourth really stacks up to be a very competitive race. And that also starts the 50-cent pick 5. So I think people are going to have to go deep in their first leg of the pick 5 today.
I thought In the Midst of Biz made a lot of sense. Second off the layoff and turf to dirt, Contreras, Manny Esquivel. I kind of jumped at me a little bit as well. The sequence today, the pick 5, second level, that second level allowance for filling in mares short on the dirt. And then we've got 3 and up claimers going long. They've got a 5 furlong turf sprint, maiden 32s, open company as the 6. Then there's a 12-5, non-winners of 2 lifetime short for 3 and ups, group of 9. And then the anchor leg in today's pick 5, a mile on the grass, maiden 32s. Nancy, terrific to connect. I wanted to make sure that a quarter horse fans got some attention, got some love with a sequence of over $500,000 the next 4 days at Indiana. But every day the racing has been, you know, engaging and lucrative when it comes to that pick 5 particularly, and now a new jackpot bet as well. The Straight Fire, 20-cent jackpot at Indiana. Nancy, we'll catch up later in the meet. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Have a good day.
Nancy Uri-Holtis, and I should have dug in here. Let me see. When was Paul's? Because I know I saw when I was watching. Maybe it was that on the undercard that day of the on the big stake card? Or actually, I think he might have won a race at during the Keeneland meet too, Paul Holtis. Huh. All right. Well, there it is, Nancy. Let's we're going to stay here, Case, right? We took the top of the hour break. Christophe Clement going to join us next, and while we reach for Christophe, let me go up north of the border. Those 2 stakes that I pointed out on Friday at Woodbine, and you know what? Maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll reach. I didn't reach for Mike Trombetta this morning, but Super Escape. Super Escape goes back up to Woodbine and wins again. Has been really good, and Trombetta clearly has got a nice. You know, nice thing going here, picking out spots for, and particularly for Mrs. Weber's horses. Super Escape, a career best, and a career best by a big margin. This was a top performance in the Trillium. Nicely done with Louis Contreras. I mean, as Jay always makes me laugh, Jay Privin, when Jay says, went to the lead and improved position from there. Super escape, an easy win on Saturday, one of the two stakes. And then in the Royal North, and, you know, the Royal North was part of the, and we'll get to, probably do it tomorrow with Andy, the cross-country pick five. Lady Grace, and the for me anyway, the frustration here when it came to the cross country with this race, Another Time was the horse that I had picked, and Another Time coming out of the Nassau win last month, and Barbara Minchel, I thought coming right back in 3 weeks made a lot of sense. Cassie wins with Lady Grace, and in fact, at 13-2 pays 1480. And it's funny, didn't Cassie last week when we talked to Cassie after War of Wills win? Cassie was he said, we got wins for Gary and Barber and for Jack Oxley, and he was going through his roster. Of the clients, and he said, now we got to win one for Tracy Farmer. Well, he wasn't kidding. That's exactly what he did. This is a Cantheros filly, and she came out of a win, and that came 3 weeks ago for out of allowance company, a four-year-old filly that seems to be improving with. This is one of those horses. I like these kinds of horses. This is a horse that took six tries to break her maiden, and had some moderate efforts that is, you might get frustrated with, and they just stuck with it. She breaks her maiden, then comes right back in a stake, actually, last summer, and now is seemingly coming up the ladder again. Now as a 4 year old, so as she gains maturity, she's getting better. Cass Kimura aboard. And in fact, Cassie won too, because Eye in the Sky was second, and Eye in the Sky third off the layoff in here, and had really been kind of uncompetitive in the two races that started the season. Of course, Eye in the Sky, a stake winner in her own right. So maybe she's rounding into form. And we're going to see a lot of this. They're going to see a lot of this scenario, with the time off that the pandemic created. And, not that horses weren't getting exercise, because of course they were, but it's not the same as when you've got a certain plan in mind. You've already heard some of this from horsemen. And so if horses have what look like not reversals per se, but, leaps forward, some of it could simply be because the timing of their races didn't take place the way the connections had intended, the way the outfits were targeting. I mean, you've heard a lot of horses already that have been, shifted to other stake opportunities. So not going to be the first or last time you see, some jump ups. So I think you got to keep an open mind, in other words. So anyway, that was the Woodbine action. And, pretty much the racing limited the big racing, the big stake racing, limited to Monmouth and Saratoga and Woodbine for the weekend. And I should mention from while we wait for either Chris or maybe we'll get Austin Reed from Finger Lakes and slip him in first and come back to Christophe Clement. But those two stakes from Ohio on Friday that I mentioned at Belterra, Moonlit Mission won the Tomboy, and Verissimo won the Buckeye Native. And Verissimo actually was 3-1, which is a nice number on a horse like that. So yeah, he's won a bunch of races, Verissimo. He also there was a couple of others. I'll get to the other small stakes, and we'll also look ahead to a couple of other midweek engagements. Right now, Austin Reed does join us, and we'll go to Finger Lakes. Opening day after plenty of travail, but here it is. Later this afternoon, 1:10 start, and the first 3 days of the meet, and some really nice field size to get things going. 99 horses entered today on a 9-race card, 90 tomorrow, and with 9 races, 74 on Wednesday and an 8-race card. So averaging 11, 10, and over 9 these first 3 days. Austin, I'm sure it feels good for everybody, all the horsemen, all the connections, the riders and staff to get things started at Finger Lakes. Good morning.
Oh, yes. We couldn't, this meet couldn't get started fast enough, and we're so happy with the sunshine, clear blue skies, and great day to get started here at Finger Lakes with, like you said, great fields and a lot of betting opportunities.
Austin, give us a little bit of a catch up. You know, we spoke probably about 6 weeks ago as things were at least starting to gel. At that point, of course, Governor Cuomo had set up a tick list to get sections of the state open. You got a game plan together in terms of opening the backstretch. Where do things stand cumulatively in terms of how many full barns and a full complement of stalls and so forth, and what are the arrangements or the prospects for people to attend?
So Finger Lakes Racetrack, the Department of Health here locally, and the governor's office, everybody worked together in unison to create great safety protocols, temperatures. We've been very lucky here on the backside of Finger Lakes. All the COVID protocols have worked. We started that on June 1st, and we were able to get the horses fit and in shape and racing. And the only thing we're missing now is obviously the VLT revenue to help fund our purses. So we're going to move forward here as we await the governor to open our VLTs, and we're just going to move forward with the purse money that we have on hand during winter simulcast and some VLT revenue over the winter and see how many days we can race and keep our fingers crossed that our VLTs will get open and we'll get back to some type of normalcy.
How long, based on the revenues and the purse funding as you stand now, how long can you operate essentially, before hitting a shortfall in terms of purse payouts?
Well, we're looking into early September, and
okay,
based on revenue from gambling last year on horses, but
nice.
If we get more revenue with these big field size and more people betting on horses, as we have seen the racing go at other places where 10%, increase in Saratoga over the weekend, 9-10%, that's all good news. And we're hoping to ride that a little bit and see if we can get some more people. We have FingerLakesBonusBets.com here locally, and then a lot of people bet through the Naira Bets as well.
That's nice, and frankly, the fact that that's kind of eye opening. I gotta say, Austin, the fact that you guys have got purse funding to get you into September already, even without the summer revenues, that's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, we had winter simulcast, and we had the VLT revenues up through the middle of March.
Right,
and we're going to run 3 days a week here in July, and then in August we're going to run Monday through Thursday. And then with the increase, hopefully handle a little bit, we're pretty optimistic. And we're, like I said, I think if the governor steps in here and helps us, 70% of our purse account is funded from the VLT. So we really hope that they get up and some safety measures are put in place where we can have the machines up and running. I mean, NYRA needs the same thing. They need the machines that actually have to be up and running.
Well, especially when we get back downstate in September, undoubtedly that that's going to be. That's going to be an increasing concern. Agreed. Meanwhile, how about the barn? You pretty much stalled up, stall apps, everybody, all the barns filled up?
Yeah, so we have about 1,100 stalls back here and in the range of about 950 horses.
Nice.
We still have some opens. We're open. We've had a few trainers that wanted to come our way, and then we had a delayed opening based on, the VLT machines, and it's been hard on owners. We really truly appreciate the owners sticking by their trainers in this business. You've heard from so many owners that suffered, as well as trainers, and we appreciate everybody's patience to get started, and hopefully people will have some success as they run this summer, and most importantly, if we can get the VLTs run, we'll go all the way to Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Well, 3 day a week to start the season, and looking at these races, and when we talk about anything 8, 9, 10, all the way up to 12 horse fields, and a lot more. I gotta say, between the maiden specials for $26,000 and the allowance, $21,000 allowances. These are nice cards, Austin. There's a certain very loyal and very Finger Lakes oriented horse player that really enjoys this. I mean, Paul Matisse. I'll give you an example. Paul and the Matisses, they love the Finger Lakes action, and I'm just looking at what you got lined up. Even just today, and a 12 horse feature as the eighth race, 1:10 start time for the cards. How about the Jock Colony? How are you handling what obviously became a major issue nationwide on jocks and essentially most venues locking down the riders to keep them, keep everybody safe and healthy?
The scare at Lone Star really opened some eyes for locals and many jock rooms, and I think people are starting to take it a lot more seriously now. And we're going to move them, half the colony maybe into the dining room area and give them separate spaces. We have also another area in the jocks room, and people are going to be, they've got the protocols the stewards have handed down and the Racing and Gaming Commission, and the masks are very important, obviously, and I think people are really taking it serious after the Lone Star. I mean, we were very fortunate to have racing, back up and running, and we just don't want to lose any jockeys. We don't want to lose anybody to the COVID on the backside. We've been very lucky. The temperatures have worked, and everybody entering the racetrack facility will have temperature checks. And right now, we're only allowing the grooms and the trainers. Owners can watch from the home stretch from their cars right now. And then as we work with Ontario County Department of Health, maybe we can open up to some owners like the NYRA and have the protocol set in place.
Excellent. Well, that'll have to suffice, I guess, for everybody to. It's very frustrating, no doubt. I've already heard from people, even with the ownership scenario here at Saratoga, those that hold badges, spouse badges, but aren't actual licensees, that they can't come. I mean, I don't know how many different ways to package it, Austin, that, we all just have to understand and bear with it. A couple of thoughts about the big names, and of course the Englehart family tops the standings last year. Chris and Jeremiah, and then you look at Jim Aquilino, Paul Barrow. Give everybody a glance at some of the barns to watch going into the meet.
Well, every year we seem to begin with the Tampa Invaders and the NYRA Invaders that obviously have the fitness advantage, but this year we open on June 1st, so it's almost been 2 months now. I'm curious to see how much the Tampa and the NYRA horses have that advantage. We're backing up to 5/8 now, no 4.5s. And, you know, it's going to be hard on the handicappers, but I think it gives everybody a fair shot because the locals, a lot of the mom and pops that laid up their horses, they've had enough time to get their workouts in, unlike the past when they had 6 weeks. They've had 7 to 8 weeks now. Chris, Jeremiah, Jeffrey, all the Englehearts bring in a lot of horses from New York and around the East Coast and have had fitness going for them all winter. Mike Ferraro Jr. is coming out of Tampa. Jim Acolano has just been a staple and just picking the right horses and claiming the right horses around the East Coast in the last few years that has just propelled him right to the top as well. And all these little mom-and-pop operations take a lot of pride in their 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds that have been on their farms all winter, and everybody is just excited to get rolling and hopefully make some money because it's been a long-awaited checks in the bookkeeper's office.
Well, and of course, you guys generously and undoubtedly a big part or a big help to everybody was the bonus money that you came up with, the concept based on everybody's previous starters in 2019. And, you know, it wasn't a huge money, but it was enough to help pay some bills and keep everybody going.
Yeah, our president, Chris Vaccaro, and board of directors have really worked well together, just trying to make the best of a bad situation. And, you know, I think if we can get through this with the VLT starting back up and people go on and play our signal, I think we'll overcome this and look back in a couple of years and you know, be proud of their actions and hopefully continue with this great little unique meet that we have here in upstate. And we've also had a lot of people excited with their horses that are training to try to get some shots in Saratoga. So we're fortunate to be so close to Saratoga as well as Presque Isle Downs and have many options for our horsemen to race their horses.
Well, of course, Presque will start next Monday and then with Arlington on Thursday. So once Arlington with you guys today and Arlington and then Presque Isle, every venue in North America that was hoping to run will be running, just looking for a spot today. How about in the fifth race? I see 8-1 on Lookout Jace for Jeffrey Englehart. I think I think at that price that's my play for the day at the Lakes. You got anything yourself you like?
Well, it's funny you say. I didn't even open the program to that page, but
all right.
That's Jeffrey's son. So that's definitely going to have a little family feel. Jeffrey's my cousin. That's his son, his name of his son. So he's going to have some extra oomph behind that horse, hoping to get that one today. So that's a good plug for Jeffrey's horse. Jim Aquilano is just everything he has done with his horses in the spring has just been on fire. Mike Ferraro is going to bring horses home from Tampa, and the Englehearts from the Naira circuit. And then I'm always looking for the local mom and pops that put their horse up for the past 6 to 8 months. And you just, in my position as the executive director, I'm kind of rooting for everybody and safety. So I don't root for, you know, I don't root for the family or I don't root for the nicest guy on the backside or the nicest lady on the backside. But right now, I got a special place for the mom and pops that just endured this last 7 to 8 months of just, you know, pandemic and racing uncertainty. So, and the appreciation to the owners. You want every owner to win in the next couple of weeks to pay their dues after the long winter that they endured.
Well, excited to have the Flakes back up as part of the betting menu. And Tony Callow behind the mic.
Yep. And there they go. You'll be hearing that about 1:10 today, and couldn't be more excited to hear Tony. He's got such an enthusiasm for racing, and, I mean, he's calling it just like he's playing the race. So he knows what horses are making a move. It's we're so lucky to have him.
You know, he does not get nearly the credit among the race calling, you know, critical mass. I think he calls a terrific race, and he's got a distinctive voice and a delivery. He makes it fun without being overly, you know, flowery or silly. I think he's a terrific race caller.
Without a doubt. When you have that passion to gamble and then the passion to care for the horses and the passion to call the races, you put all that together, you get Tony, and he's got some great nicknames for people, gets people to laugh, and we're very lucky to have him, and I'm glad he stayed around.
Austin Reed and the Finger Lakes HBPA, and the season finally underway, just south of the New York Thruway. And although right now you can only watch from your car, when you do get a chance to go to Finger Lakes, it's such a pleasant place. And, you know, we've won a couple of races over the years with Mike Lassesi, and wish Mike the best for the year, and expect he'll come to Saratoga with a few starters. He always does, and he does a great job. Austin, I really appreciate it. Best of luck to everybody out there for a safe and healthy and successful meet.
We appreciate it, and check us out on TVG, Finger Lakes Bonus Bets, and we will have a 10,000 guaranteed pick five today, so we're excited to get some of the bettors in and get the action rolling.
I love it. Finger Lakes, everybody, the Flakes, it's back. Let's take a break, probably our last of the morning, and I think the window may have closed for us today for Chris Clement. He got tied up, so we might not talk to Chris today, save for tomorrow, and we'll come back and do a little bit more at the races. Monday recap, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I love this song, The Bats. Future Me Hates Me. They're so great. Waiting to get some details from Michelle Ravencraft and Holly Short about the first rounds of Beat Bic and, you know, the Perrette beat was tough. I got to tell you, I thought Turning for Home when Vargas seemed to, you know, edge clear, and then here came Joe Bravo to catch Perrette. About the same number of people participated as they did last year, about 800 each day. And I'm waiting. Let me see if I got the specific numbers. 69 qualifiers. So 69 of you jumped on Aquaphobia. So good job there. And that's, you know, that's about the right number, actually, when you think about it. In terms of the odds, right? 69 and Aquaphobia was 11-1. And then on Sunday, yesterday, and that was a weird situation. I know people were mystified or, you know, concerned or whatever when it comes to the Blame Debbie, the way, you know, she kind of got wobbly and seemingly Ortiz was struggling with her, right? If you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen the Lake Placid, you know, she, the way the splits were, again, I thought when they turned for home, she was in great shape, Blame Debbie, and then got swamped essentially. And Speak to Me a Summer. So we'll save Chris Clement because it got a little bit too late after at the top of the hour. So when it came to the winners with Speak to Me of Summer, 85 jumped aboard the Chris Clement Express, and it really feels like an express. Well, speaking of expresses, Global Campaign, when it came to the Monmouth Cup on Saturday, I used the expression that Jay Pridman popularizes, went to the front and improved the position. Stanley Huff joins us on the heels of Global Campaign's 100 buyer effort in the Monmouth Cup. Stanley, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
I got to tell you, I'm watching the board before the race. I was sitting on the track apron on one of the benches with Tina, and he opens up at like 6-5. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I mean, I didn't get the memo. It was, and then
right,
he proceeds, right? And then he proceeds to run just a tremendous race. And he even got headed by the Safi Joseph, the nice math wizard. And he, you know, re-rallied. I mean, talk about this effort. I thought it was top notch.
We were so happy, I'll tell you. You know, he's been a little bit of a project, but he's such a talented horse that, you know, wasn't necessarily intended to go to lead. We wanted him to break and get in contention, but he broke very well and seemed to be doing it fine. And then he got pressed a couple times, you know, down the backside. And, you know, he one of Sackler's horses, and then the other one come up, and, you know, so it was a great effort. I was real proud of it.
And we'll talk about his prospects because he certainly is bred to be a stallion and an important horse. This is his third race off the layoff. He came back and won at Gulfstream. You went to Churchill in May, I'm sure with designs toward running in the Stephen Foster, and you either learned some things because you took the hood off of him. And talk a little bit about, you know, what you did equipment wise and hoping to get him to relax, and yet here for the first time he essentially wires a field.
Yeah, well, he was a little bit you know, he had his issues as a young horse, you know, a three-year-old last year. And it seemed to be the blinkers seemed to help him. So I trained him in them and always had him on. But his first race back this year, he kind of hopped out of the gate. Didn't really, you know, he just jumped. And then his race at Churchill, obviously we were so disappointed. But he was on the inside, kind of got bumped around a little bit. And so I just thought maybe taking the blinkers off. And I've trained him recently with no blinkers. And I'm not sure that made such a big difference, but it sure didn't hurt.
Well, and famously, I mean, we've talked about this with you, you know, going back. But you were somebody that was used blinkers. Mike Hushin too used blinkers with real intent and knowing whether it was going to help or hurt, as opposed to some people who just throw them on out of desperation.
Right. Well, you know, he really wasn't in his races. It wasn't a problem. You know, I mean, he didn't look around, or he was pretty focused on his, you know, most of his races. The couple races that he didn't run his race, he seemed to have a pretty good excuse. The only one he didn't have too good excuse was his race before this at Churchill. You know, he just, but I don't know if it was a bounce off that effort, come back in 30 days, shipping. You know, he came out of it with a little heat, 1 foot, but I couldn't really give him not much excuse. You know, so we were just kind of starting over again. And I worked him a few times in company and, you know, just got his mind right. And he seemed to respond. So that was, I just hope he keeps going forward, because he's got the talent to be a major horse.
Well, and on that topic, because I'm not going to let the chance, you know, at him becoming now a graded stake winner to go with last year's Peter Pan, of course. Now he's a graded stake winner as a four-year-old, so at 3 and 4. And, of course, his career didn't start until he was a three-year-old. He's a Curlin that Windstar created, matched with Globetrot, and this makes him a half brother to both Bolt Doro and Sonic Mule. And you know, this mare, she's produced three straight, you know, stallion types right away. I think she's gone, right? I think she died. Globetrot.
Yeah, the mare died. Google campaign. So.
That's why, yeah, and because I remember at the time, it you know, that was even, we didn't even know at that point what she was going to end up having been, because Sonic Mules, he was just starting as a racehorse. So it really is an amazing produce record to throw three straight with a Distorted Humor, Sonic Mule, Medallia Doro, Bolt Doro, and now Curlin, Global Campaign. Stanley, obviously with the partners involved here, Windstar and Sagamore, making him a stallion is going to be important, and a grade one somewhere along the line. Talk about your thinking about how to go from here.
Well, that's obviously the goal, you know, and if he could get a grade one before the end of the year, you know, it'd be a major thing for the stallion part of it. So, obviously, with Windstar involved, that's our major goal. So he's already done enough and with pedigree to beat, but I'm sure if he could get a grade one behind him, it would sure make a lot of difference.
Would something like the Woodward be the obvious at the end of Saratoga? Would that be the...
That's sure in the radar. Yep.
Well, it comes back in this spot with a 100 buyer, which puts him, you know, right back on par with his 101 in the Peter Pan. And we did see him in the Jim Dandy, and he got over Saratoga okay when he was third behind Tax and Tacitus in the Jim Dandy. So we've had him up here. You brought him back to Churchill?
Yes. Yeah, he got back this morning from church. Mm-hmm.
And so he came out. Nice. So he came out okay.
Came back good. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, and Stan, we should talk because, you know, we saw during that Horse of Racing Age sale last week, we saw a number of those Sagamore products change hands. Where do things stand currently?
Yeah, Sagamore really, Kevin really at this point in time with everything that's going on, he really wants to get, you know, out of the horse business. So we've been selling most of the year, you know, so we've sold, and he sold most all the mares that we could sell. And, you know, we sold Wieland's Yearlands the last 2 years. So we really been kind of going that way. So, but he wants out. So we, one of the fellows that work with, Hunter Rankin, he's the president of Sagamore, and we work together real well. So we're putting together a little outfit, and we'll probably have about a dozen horses. And that's going to be, you know, that's kind of more to my liking right now.
Is it going to operate under different, what's the moniker going to be that you'll operate?
It'll be two partnerships, myself and... my son and a couple other people with Hunter and another person. So it'll be like two partnerships, and we'll have, you know, mostly just our horses, you know.
Nice.
So we've got some gathered up. We bought some off Sagamore that haven't raced yet, and a few 2-year-olds that weren't marketable right now, really, and a couple 3-year-olds that haven't run. So that gave us a start. We got a couple outside horses for some friends and family. So it'll be a nice little outfit.
Oh, that's great. Is there a working name for the nom de course?
Well, we're kind of on the 1st of August. It'll kind of switch over what we have. Obviously, Global is a partnership that'll remain through the racing part of it. And... so, you know, Sagamore and Windstar are partners there. So that'll remain. And we sold those other horses. We lost a lot. And we're in the process of selling South Bend. He's in the process of being sold. So, which is another very nice horse. So, we've done what we're set out to do. So now we're just going to see if we can develop, you know, maybe go to Yearlands and buy a few. And I don't want to do, you know, I don't want a lot of horses anymore. I didn't intend to go back to training, but I do like some of the people we're working with. And my old assistant, you know, for years and years has been with us. So, I'm going to keep doing it for a little while.
Attaboy, Stanley. What? I was going to ask you about South Bend, who was a good second, right in the Ohio Derby.
Right, doing really well too. He's a nice horse that's getting better. So, like I say, it's in process of being sold. So we'll see. I think we've done good with him, but I think he's. He's a horse going the right way, you know. So I hope he goes on and does very, very well, you know. So we still got rooting interest in him, so we hope for the best.
So, in other words, he's gonna find a home, somebody else. They're not gonna leave him with you.
No. It's probably gonna go to Billy Mott. The owners involved are with Billy, and you know. It's hard to knock that. That's a pretty good spot to go to.
No doubt about it. And Mott, of course, coming off of a productive weekend himself, which included the Coaching Club American Oaks for Windstar, actually, and then of course Horologist's win in the Molly Pitcher, you know, and mentioning some other names, you know, I reached out to Stanley. We didn't get a chance to connect a couple of weeks ago when Frank Alexander passed, and I thought of you and would love for you to say a couple of things about Frank.
Well, yeah, Frank was great. You know, I mean, he really loved the game, was in it most all his life between show horses and the thoroughbreds. He spent some time at Sagamore as a younger person. And, you know, Frank, we kind of followed. I was in South Florida. He ended up there. And then I went to New York. He ended up in New York. So we kind of were following the same little bit of a path. But Frank was a great horseman and a great guy, you know, and he loved the game. And we're really sorry to see him go.
Well, and, you know, it one of the things about this that's so different, nobody necessarily has to retire. There's occasions or there's reasons to retire. But I mean, even, you know, look at what happened with you, where, you know, you had an opportunity to dip your toe back in and, you know, you picked out a bunch of good horses for Plank. And, you know, now it's got you, even if you're just going to have a dozen, you're fully immersed again.
Yeah. It's hard to get completely away once you're in, and I was able to, you know, retire several years ago. But anyways, you know, when you get in it, it's hard. It's always hard to get out. You know, you get attached to some of the ones you have, and then you're always looking for the young horses. And, you know, that's a part of the game that you never get tired of, you know, is trying to find that good horse. You know,
exactly. So, exactly.
Tough to do.
Well, and I got to mention too, you know, you've had since this return, you know, not just Global Campaign with that Peter Pan, but Recruiting Ready won that sprint down at Gulfstream. But this was your first graded stake win at Monmouth in 14 years, because Brunilda won the Eatontown. You also won yourself a United Nations with Request for Parole, who was one of my favorites. Won the Sorority. I mean, you had a lot of success over the years at Monmouth.
Oh, yeah, no complaints. Yeah, we did okay. So we're, you know, but, you know, in this game, what you did a long time ago really doesn't count. You got to keep nowadays. You know, with the stats the way they are, you know, if you want to stay in the game, you got to win your fair share of races. You know, so we could do a little different years ago, but like I say, you know, what you did in the past doesn't have a lot to do with what goes on today. You know, so
well,
but I had no complaints.
No, I mean, would you keep a string at all? I don't recall it at Monmouth, or would you just ship in?
Yeah, years ago I had some. I mean, long time ago I kept some. Actually, way back when I was with Harborview, we had a string at Monmouth, and various times I would leave some horses there. But in recent years I just shipped it right there.
Well, you had, and in fact, you mentioned Harborview, Prince Westport.
Yeah, that was one. God, you got me now. I was only actually with privately about a year, you know, and then we had a falling out. But Prince Westport was one, and then, the horse was third in the Derby. What can I say his name? No, I don't know.
That's all right.
In 82. Anyway, he ended up winning Louisiana Derby that year. Reinvested was a pretty nice horse.
Reinvested, absolutely.
Yeah.
Don Macbeth.
Yeah. Donnie Macbeth, exactly. And, and then after that, I went with Firestone for a few years, and we had a little bit of success, and before and after. So, I had a good run, you know, honestly, whatever. If it doesn't go any further, then it's been good.
Well, you had a good run, and this is like a gallop out.
Yeah, exactly.
Stanley, I love calling you and congratulating you. We're going to see you at Saratoga at some point, too, I imagine, this summer.
At some point, not,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Even if it's just the woodwork.
I got a Philly, another fella that's a really kind of a nice Philly, 2-year-old. So looking forward maybe to getting her up there, too, and come take a couple of us up there because I love Saratoga.
What's the Philly's name?
The Philly's name is Ingest.
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 That's cute.
You know, I don't know where he got the name, but that's the name. Inject.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, but I like her. You know, I really do. And so we'll see. But she's got a little ways to go. But I really like her. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that's from you, that's a glowing endorsement that you think she's good enough to bring here. And certainly with the quality of racing with the 2-year-olds at Ellis, you know, you could just as easily go there.
Well, I just might take her down to Ellis because, you know, she's Kentucky and that. And then they come back here, you know, like Derby Week in September and then back again, Keeneland here. So there's plenty of races up, you know, here. I don't really have to ship her. But, you know, again, I'm not sure yet.
Well, we'll watch for either way. Stan, I appreciate this, and I'm glad even though Plank is withdrawing, I'm delighted that you're going to go on with it.
Yeah, well, he's been great to us, and yeah, what a nice outfit. You know, he couldn't be any nicer to all the help, and it's been a real pleasure to work with him. I'll tell you honestly.
Stanley Huff, everybody. Thanks so much, Stanley. We'll see you soon, and we'll talk soon. And Global Campaign, now a multiple graded stake winner with the performance in the Monmouth Cup. And Jorge Vargas, who's a really underrated. We're going to send you out into the race day, opening day at Finger Lakes, and, of course, plenty of other options out there for you today. Indiana, as we talked about, as well as Canterbury and you name it. I want to thank Stanley and Austin Reed from the Finger Lakes HBPA, Rich Migliori, Joe Bravo, Tim Hamm, and we'll do more tomorrow, including with Andy Serling. More recapping, and look forward to it. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning at the races, Sirius XM.
Let the summertime song fall on the apple. Oh, there goes a Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice
choice of scent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.